Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Nothing quite captures just how bizarre and unearthly the Democrats have begun or become than when they get to talk about police and law enforcement. Of course, their fixation with gender bending is a very close second. Now, it would honestly do them a lot of good to just stop discussing the issue altogether because they come across as real idiots. You can see it on their faces how hard it is for them to articulate simple concepts like criminals should be in jail or police deserve respect. They would rather complicate the issue by talking about the history of slavery, disadvantaged communities, and my favorite, systemic oppression. And all the data show that across the board, regardless of race, the overwhelming majority of police and civilian interactions are fine. That minorities call on cops for help at a far higher rate than white people do, and that the chance of an unarmed black man being killed by police is next to non-existent. And when such an incident does occur, it's because he was resisting arrest or attempting to flee in a life-threatening high-speed chase. But leftists refuse to leave it alone. Instead, writhing in pain as they try to find some existential problem with our law enforcement. To wit, New York Times columnist in training Charles Blow wrote Wednesday that former President Trump and his voters aren't genuine supporters of the police. Whatever you say, pal, but Blow couldn't make the point without first offering a winding, tedious lecture on the theory of policing, because, you know, it's a theory, according to them. Now, in a system of accountability and consequences, there must be first points of contact, people who are charged with preventing and stopping the rule breaking. In our society, those people are police officers. Their role in the abstract is essential. However, the way that we have constructed it is problematic. Just a bunch of word vomit. Then there's Missouri Democrat Representative Cori Bush, a champion of zeroing out police budgets, last year attempting to explain why she spends hundreds of thousands of dollars on private armed security. She said, "I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now." She said this with a straight face. She said it without laughing. She said, "I have private security because they, the white supremacist racist narrative that they drive into this country, the fact that they don't care that this black woman that has put her life on the line, they can't match my energy, first of all. This black woman who puts her life on the line, they don't care that I could be taken out of here. They actually are probably okay with that, but this is the thing. I won't let them get that off." You can't get that off. No embellishment there. This was actually from a TV transcript. Listening to Democrats talk about law enforcement is like watching that In Living Color skit with the Oswald Bates character, a prisoner who confidently uses a slew of multisyllabic words that ultimately mean nothing, but he thinks he's smart for using them anyway. "First of all, we must internalize the flatulation of the matter by transmitting the effervescent of the Indonesian proximity in order to further segregate the crux of my venereal infection." I got a free tip for the Democratic Party if they wanted to. This would be the shorter cut to what they really want, you know, to the perception they seem to think that they already have, but they don't, but it would help a lot. They could just shut up. We have watched you. We know what you're about. You've turned all the big cities into war zones where theft and vandalism continue with impunity, in no small part because a fentanyl addict died in a freak accident. No matter how you cut it, no matter how complicated you try to make it, law enforcement is not your issue, and you're scaring everybody. But they could just shut up about it. I mean, it is just that simple. And then let's go back to the New York Times. I mean, Rob was talking about this earlier. New York school districts and staff who volunteered as well as been vetted and trained to carry firearm as a first-line defense in case of a targeted attack on school grounds aren't unusual or uncommon in some states. But the gun control lobby absolutely despises the idea. Every Town for Gun Safety has teamed up with parents to challenge the legality of the policies, which led to lawmakers in Ohio having to go back and redo state law after the state Supreme Court ruled that teachers and staff could not have a gun on campus unless they'd undertaken the more than 700 hours of training necessary to become a certified peace officer in the state, of which actual gun training is very little. Now the New York Times has discovered what's going on in Ohio, labeling the new law contentious and echoing the complaints of the gun control lobby. And this strategy is fiercely opposed by the Democrats and police groups and teachers' unions and gun control advocates who say the concealed carry programs in schools, far from solving the problem, will only create more risk. Because past polling has shown that the vast majority of teachers do not want to be armed. And the law in Ohio has been especially contentious because it requires no more than 24 hours of training, along with 8 hours of recertification annually. And so Michael Weinman, Director of Government Affairs for the Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio, the state's largest law enforcement organization, says this to us is just outrageous. By comparison, police officers in the state undergo more than 700 hours of training. Of course, that's not 700 hours of firearm training, now is it, Mike? No, it isn't. No. And the reason the teachers only take 24 hours of it is because they're not police officers. Why should they need to undergo training on arrest technique or defensive driving or suspect interviews or handling crime scenes? They are the axe in case of a fire, the fire extinguisher in case of a fire. They don't have to be other things as well. They're already teachers. The school employees that are armed don't have the authority to arrest students, and they're not tasked with any special responsibility other than responding, if necessary, to a murderer on school grounds. So, the New York Times went out and hung out with the FASTER program, which has taught thousands of educators in recent years not only how to respond tactically to an active shooter on campus, but how to de-escalate the situation if possible, first aid, and other situation-specific training. And while the paper made sure to include plenty of criticism of the program, they also spoke to several of the teachers taking part, each of whom dispelled the common claim by the anti-gun activists that no educator would ever willingly choose to carry a gun to protect students in their care. Like Jennifer, a school custodian who volunteers as an instructor with FASTER, said that in 4 years of caring in her school, she never needed her weapon. She doesn't doubt her ability, but believes the hardest part would be using her firearm on a student. And she recalled when a middle schooler she had been mentoring threatened to bring a gun to school. So, she said her heart dropped on that one because she was maybe going to be tasked with having to deal with that kid. And then there was the decision, for Mandy, the decision to be armed in the classroom seemed like a better solution than wasp spray or tube sock, you know. She worked through logistical details like how she will carry a pistol inside her waistband and a holster meant to prevent accidental discharge. She did a handstand on it to see if her gun remained secure. And she goes to the gun range every week. So, when gun control groups like Everytown adamantly opposed to this kind of strategy, however, they're ensuring that an immediate response to a targeted attack is going to be an uphill battle. And particularly in the blue states where they and their anti-gun allies in legislatures hold sway. And that's a shame because that means more innocent children die. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis Holsters. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. The World Economic Forum, I have to confess, a while back, I mean here recently, I wasn't paying too much attention to them. I am now simply because of, their shenanigans. Their shenanigans, because they got tyrannical intentions. They are pushing for a global transition away from private ownership of vehicles and other idle equipment. as a part of a clean energy revolution, itself part of the Great Reset. And in a recently released report, Swiss-based international lobbying group stated that transition from fossil fuel to renewables will need large supplies of critical metals such as cobalt, lithium, nickel. But they also noted that shortages of those critical metals are likely to make renewable fuel technologies prohibitively expensive. And it highlighted a couple of options, but downplayed both as essentially unworkable, saying one obvious route is to mine more virgin material, but this comes with its own costs and potentially unintended consequences. Another solution, commonly discussed, is to recycle more and use the metals already in circulation. The complication is that we do not currently have enough metals in circulation, and even with recycling taking into consideration, mineral production is still forecasted to increase by nearly 500%, which would be a low estimate in all actuality. So, when they set the parameters of any debate, they got down to the heart of the matter, its reason for being. It listed three proposals geared toward building a fully circular economy in order to reduce demand for critical metals, which are used in mobile phones, electric vehicles, wind turbines, and many other technologies. Now, the first of these is the most important, surely the most arousing, to the likes of Klaus Schwab, son of a former member of several National Socialist Nazi organizations, and his ilk. The report argues that private ownership of vehicles and electronic devices at all is wasteful and inefficient, and we must go from owning to using. Which I don't really know what the difference is. Are they going to restrict how much we can use them? Is that what they're saying? But they also further note the average car or van in England is driven just 4% of the time. While most already have a personal phone, 39% of workers globally have employer-provided laptops and mobile phones. This is not at all resource efficient. Right. No one should be allowed to own more than one of anything. But, memo to them, one doesn't live in one's house, condo, or apartment every hour of every day, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't own one. Or that it is resource inefficient. And how often do we use our toasters? 5 minutes a day? But that would be about 0.3% of the time. Our blenders, washing machines, dryers, televisions. Most folks don't use their heat for several months out of the year. Same goes for air conditioning. I guess we should get rid of all these idle, wasteful, inefficient items too. Maybe we could call for a toaster, washing machine, or TV if and when we need one. Precisely the thing, according to the report. For example, it suggests a dramatically expanded use of car-sharing platforms that let users briefly rent vehicles rather than own them. And it says a fundamental transformation of the way things and systems, including entire cities, are designed as a necessary part of this revolution, to wit. To enable broader transition from ownership to usership, the way we design things and systems needs to change, too. For example, car sharing is made possible by new keyless unlocking features. Similarly, user profiles that create a distinction for work and personal use on the same devices needed to reduce the number of devices per person. A design process that focuses on fulfilling the underlying need instead of designing for product purchasing is fundamental to this transition. This is the mindset needed to redesign cities to reduce private vehicles and other usages. And that was just proposal number one. Proposal number two. Now, some of us out there, every time a new iPhone comes out, we got to go get it. Well, they don't want you to do that no more. They want you to keep things longer before buying a new one to replace them. And they observed that keeping a smartphone for 5 years instead of three could reduce the phone's annual carbon footprint by 31%. The third proposal. They want to encourage the repurposing of technologies that no longer can perform their original function into doing something else. So like a retired battery from an electric vehicle could be refurbished to power streetlights, which actually that already happens. Thomas Massey did this. He powers his house with a Tesla vehicle battery. He repurposed it into a power wall. So that already happens among those who know how to do it. But how many of them are, you know, Thomas Massey's an electrical engineer? I'm not. Now, the report acknowledges that implementing these solutions would require a dramatic upheaval of worldwide economies, but claims that failing to make them would harm the environment. But you know what else would harm the environment? The devastation of worldwide economies and the resulting poverty and illness and disease and chaos and conflict and hopelessness that would definitely absolutely follow. Transitioning from fossil fuel to sustainable energy, at least via proposals like the World Economic Forum's, will require those of us that aren't wealthy and famous to give up our rights to private ownership and probably everything else. That's not sustainable, or it shouldn't be. And will we meekly go along with this or fight back? And at this late stage, even if we fight back, we may lose and be forced to comply. But, you know, as for me, I myself would not abide. And they think we need to get rid of everything we own. And per Herr Schwab, we are supposed to own nothing and be happy about it. The World Economic Forum types purport to believe that rather than being a key to liberty, private property is evil and reeks of white supremacy. I don't know where that comes from. So why can't we all just share our things? It would be like the magazines at your doctor's office. Maybe not magazines you necessarily want to read, but can't you just live with it? In the name of the environment, I will share one thing with these tyrannical Marxist fourth point of contact boys who would run and ruin most of our lives, or all of our lives, rather. They should take every chance they can and kiss my fourth point of contact. Because that's not going to go well for them, whatever they do. That is not going to go well. And that's the part that they have a little trouble with, I guess. But that's okay with me. They can have all the trouble they like. All the trouble they like. It's perfectly okay. But that's what they want. You know, that's what they want. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
More Americans are living paycheck to paycheck due to inflation. A new report shows 61% of adults across the country struggled to make ends meet in June. According to Lending Club, that's a 3% jump from May and reflects the economic hardship for about 157 million people. A year ago, 55% of all working adults said they were living paycheck to paycheck. The White House says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has every right to visit Taiwan and has done so before, along with other members of Congress.
We have been clear from the very beginning that she will make her own decisions and that Congress is an independent branch of government.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby didn't confirm Pelosi's travel plans while addressing reporters. You're listening to USA Radio News. Firefighters are struggling to make progress against the McKinney Fire in Northern California. It has burned through dozens of structures, including the home of 81-year-old artist Althena Schwander. Schwander moved to the area just a month ago to be closer to her son.
I'm very sad. My house is gone. All my furniture, all my clothes, shoes, coats, boots, everything's gone. But my daughter-in-law told me that she grabbed my trunk full of jewelry before I left, and I found that out this morning, and I was very happy.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. What started that fire is still under investigation. Jury selection is underway in the trial of a North Texas man accused of murdering his daughters in an honor killing. Dallas County prosecutors say Yasir Saeed shot Amina Saeed and Sarah Saeed to death inside his taxi in 2008. This is USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Now, does anybody out there actually doubt that the media is your enemy? Because they are. They are a big, big problem. Because, like I said earlier, they get a lot of things wrong. They copy and paste a lot of things. And for the unsuspecting, they hear it from so many corners coming saying the same erroneous or misleading message that they begin to think, well, that's just the way it is. Now, it's nice to see that Republicans are treating reporters as what they are, which are digital vermin, whose sole function is to shrimp the toes of the regime. There's been a rash of media hand-wringing because GOP superstars like Ron DeSantis are not allowing the media access to candidates or events. At the Sunshine Summit the other week in the free state of Florida, Rufus Ron and his superstar comm staff simply refused to allow the mutants in. Dave Weigel, apparently back on the job after his utter humiliation at the hands of some fussy girls at WAPO, was rejected and ejected and sat outside the velvet rope away from the action. Good. Then there's our boy Brian Stelter, who is a potato. He was tweeting about how the GOP was not talking to reporters or coming on their shows. That most likely is another attack on democracy or something. And this tuber tirade should make us smile. Because the Republicans are, some of them are starting to get it, finally. And for a while, the model was that glop of human miracle whip, Mitt Romney, who was basically ritually disemboweled by the media during his hapless 2012 candidacy, but now gets media hits because he will reliably hate on actual conservatives. We're supposed to help them with their narrative, to assist them in promoting the donkey party line. But if we become a challenge, we're back to the enemy status. John Frieda Cornyn got a little good press with his gun law sellout, but now he's an antichrist again. Maybe that's a bad analogy, since the media hate Christians and would think that that was a compliment, I guess. I don't know. But the media craves respect and cooperation due an apolitical, neutral fourth estate dedicated to informing you of what the facts simply are. Only the facts. But also wants the fun and rewards that come with slavishly repeating every regime talking point as if it was the objective truth. And you cannot have that human petri dish of a president announce that we're not in a recession, even though the literal definition of a recession is 2 quarters of negative growth, then nod vigorously that, yes, of course, the definition is not the definition master, and expect us not to notice and hate you. Especially fun when real journalists, a.k.a. Twitter randos, who bother to actually research things instead of reading the Democrat press memos, dig up old tweets with the same White House ventriloquist dummies were talking about a Trump recession because of 2 quarters of negative growth. And it's best of all when the media hack explains that he was wrong back then, not now. But he'll be right again after 2024, though. Or at least, that's, I'm sure they suspect that. I'm sure that may be in their mind's eye at the moment. Now, have you ever noticed that how all the media mistakes always go in one direction? It's very weird. So the Republican refusal to cooperate with the media is a welcome beginning. And remember that the only reason the media interacts with conservatives is to attempt to cause damage to the GOP. Can they lie about a position or make up a gaffe? Call the Republican a racist? The only reason a media figure ever has interviews, quotes, or to refer to a Republican is to harm the conservative movement. So give them nothing. And, of course, the game will be to put forward fake Republicans like whoever Alyssa Farah is and the sexless neuters of the bulwark. And, of course, they can't actually disagree with the left. You'll get the conservative case for abortion and the conservative case for Kamala and the conservative case against conservatism. But that's different and much less effective than turning, sure, I like George Washington, into Republican Senator Joe Unbased admits he supports slavery. The absence of the GOP in the media, no interviews, no comments, no appearances on these stupid shows, will have the effect of stripping away any pretense of balance and fairness. And that's not important to me. We are based and fully understand that the media is our enemy. But normal people don't. And that's the problem. They need to see such overwhelming one-sidedness that they cannot deny or ignore it. We need to make the leftist media race to the bottom until every talking head on MSNBC and every writer at WAPO is shouting her abortion and his. We want normal people who stumble upon the leftist media to come to their own opinion. That these people are freaks and weirdos, and nothing they say has any credibility. We can yell about media hypocrisy all we want, and we should, but our complaints are much less convincing to regular people than our own experience. When normal people tune out too, the ratings and revenue drop, and the media's influence declines. When we retake power, we not only need to continue this process, but expand on it. No more White House press briefings. Record a video of administration talking points and post it on the web so any citizen can see it unfiltered. If the press has any questions, they can email them in and maybe it gets an answer, maybe not. We have no obligation to provide them a daily film forum for trying to make our conservative administration look bad. But what about the people's right to know? They're going to scream. Well, you know, what's the media have to do with that? And we need to take some further steps to crush the media. NPR must be defunded. Enough subsidized propaganda for the Volvo and socialism set. And we need to roll back any tax breaks and antitrust exemptions for newspapers and such. They should pay their fair share after all. Yeah, all of them. Also, leakers will suddenly materialize once again a Republican is in office. And we need to clamp down on them and the people receiving stolen data as well. And we need to leak stuff damaging to the left to conservative outlets. Why, Bill, that sounds almost like you're fighting them the way they do us. Well, yeah. And they do this because they hate us. And they want us disenfranchised and defeated. Very much so. So it only makes sense that we should want them destroyed. Utterly. Yeah. Our goal needs to be nothing less than the total destruction of the alleged media. And yes, we want them to go bankrupt, and we should cheer their frequent media layoff announcements. I don't honestly understand what the big deal is about that anyway. We're not in a recession, right? That's what we got told the other day. Not in a recession. This is exactly what Paul Vallone's talking about in the rules for anti-radicals. This is the way we need to approach them. This is the way we need to feed them. We need to feed them that which they've been feeding us all this time, and I can't say it on the air. But it rhymes with it. And we need to, you know, no more of that. No more of this. Too many people out there don't understand the difference between the news and reality. And they need to hear and see the reality. And once it gets off of this supposed fair and balanced non-one-sidedness, they'll begin to see it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news! Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Time on the firing line from the Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. For those of you that are too young to remember, it was 30 years ago this month that the DOJ entrapped Randy Weaver for his Christian beliefs. They issued a death warrant. They killed his dog, his son, and wife, and shot Weaver and his friend. Some of you are going, surely the DOJ doesn't execute innocent people. Yet, as we learned at trial, Randy Weaver had no propensity to commit crimes, never had a traffic ticket, never been charged with a crime of any kind, and honorably served his country. While living in Iowa, he learned it was illegal to homeschool his children independently, so he moved his family to a cabin in remote Idaho, Ruby Ridge. Now, he attended Aryan Nation meetings 3 times, meeting not far from Ruby Ridge to exchange ideas and talk to people. And he said, I usually ended up arguing. And this is where Gus Magazzano befriended Weaver and tried to involve him in illicit activity. And Weaver refused. But after 3 years of coaxing, Weaver finally agreed to make 2 sawed-off shotguns. Magazzano was a Fed. So what they really wanted, the feds, was an informant, so they blackmailed Weaver, inform or face prison, and Weaver refused. He was no snitch. So with facts withheld, a grand jury indicted Weaver, but instead of simply arresting him, they concocted an elaborate ruse. Taking advantage of his good nature, the agents feigned being a family with car trouble stranded on a snowy bridge. Said, when I walked up to help, several agents jumped me and threw me to the ground. A female agent posing to be the stranded wife threw Vicky, his wife, to the ground. Then Weaver's probation officer erroneously wrote to Weaver that his court date was a month after the actual date. So because of the error, he failed to appear. And the judge issued a bench warrant. To his shock, Weaver read about the warrant in the newspaper and later read a denial that the probation officer's letter existed. And despite the letter's veracity, a U.S. attorney convened a grand jury, withheld the letter, and received an indictment for failing to appear. Weaver testified that this just added onto everything. We could not trust anything that was going on. I wanted reassurance that I would get a fair trial. So Weaver waited in his cabin for a marshal to show up with the warrant for his arrest. No one ever came. So rather than arresting him, FBI agent Larry Potts signed a death warrant, stating, if any adult male is observed with a weapon prior to the announcement, deadly force can and should be employed if the shot could be taken without endangering any children. The FBI knew that Weaver, his wife, and his adult children regularly carried weapons, as many did in the rural community. Weaver said, we were right in the middle of a grizzly territory, mountain lions, moose, they're very dangerous animals. Not more dangerous, though, than government agents. 18 months later, on August 21st, 1992, marshals arrived making no announcement for surrender. They were in combat gear. They were wearing full camouflage suits with black ninja-type hoods. They were carrying machine guns and semi-automatic pistols. They were trained to kill. Sam, Weaver's son, called out Stryker, the family Labrador, is acting weird. Believing Stryker had spotted an animal, Sam and Weaver's friend Kevin Harris, both armed as usual, went to investigate when shots rang out. Stryker was shot dead at their feet. Sam and Harris instinctively fired back in self-defense. Harris's shot allegedly killed a marshal. Weaver yelled, "Sam, get home." Sam turned and hollered, "I'm coming, Dad." And as he ran, a marshal's bullet hit him in the back and went through his heart. After the melee, Weaver carried Sam's lifeless body to the shed. As the family wept, locked in their cabin, agents surrounded the property with elite hostage teams, snipers, military warfare equipment, helicopters, high-powered rifles, machine guns, infrared heat scanning equipment, listening devices. They did not notify the family that they were surrounded, nor did they give anyone in the family an opportunity to surrender. Desperate to see Sam one more last time, Weaver went with Harris and his daughter to the shed. And as Weaver opened the shed without warning, a bullet struck his shoulder. Sarah pleaded with her injured father, "We got to go home. We got to get in the house now." And as they ran back, Vicky, who was terrified, came to the door screaming, "What happened? What happened?" She was clutching her baby in her arms. She held the doors. Her family scrambled for safety. And just as they entered, a sniper's bullet shattered her skull, and the exiting round struck Harris in the chest and arm. The siege would continue for 11 days. If it were possible to breed more mistrust, a robot carrying a phone was sent on the pretense of negotiations. It had a sawed-off shotgun on the side aimed at the telephone, but they later said it was empty. And Weaver said he didn't believe that. He believed that anybody that grabbed the telephone would be dead. So then Lieutenant Colonel Beau Gritz was brought in to negotiate, but convincing Weaver to trust the government seemed impossible. He said, "I thought I would step out the door with Beau and they would kill us both and then tell the world we'd started shooting at them. I figured they could make up any story." Mercifully, Gritz succeeded, and he later recalled, "God be praised, because the thing that really touches me, obviously, is that family would have been wiped out." The New York Times ran the headline, "White Supremacist Surrenders. Weaver and his wife were believers in Christian identity, which holds that Europeans are the lost tribe of Israel, that blacks are subhuman, and Jews are satanic." The agency has said its officers fired only after being shot at. And with that, the guilt had been assigned, the DOJ was absolved, and the demonization was complete. Weaver was charged with first-degree murder, though he never fired a shot at anybody. And he faced the death penalty. The DOJ subpoenaed a staggering 51 witnesses over 3 months, and when it was done, Weaver was found not guilty on all counts except minor charges for failing to appear. As for the Department of Justice, Larry Potts, who signed that death warrant, was promoted to deputy director. The marshal who put a bullet in Sam's back was awarded the Medal of Valor. The sniper who assassinated Vicky had charges brought but dropped. One attorney general was so outraged he worked without pay attempting to reinstate the charges. Said they reacted to pressure to dismiss charges. "It's a very important issue for our safety and liberty. It's federal agents. If they can commit violent crimes with impunity, where's the rule of law? Who protects the people from their own government?" Well, the answer is no one. The top law enforcement arm of the government is itself above the law. The DOJ totally operates, even today, with complete impunity, unaccountable, and corrupt. The abuse is endless. When the Senate Oversight Committee had the temerity to invest the DOJ, the CIA hacked into the Senate's computers to thwart the investigation. When questioned about it under oath, they lied. CIA Director Brennan, Director of National Intelligence Clapper, and FBI Director Comey would prove to be serial perjurers and never face any consequences. And they've continued to entrap American citizens, most recently in the politically motivated Whitmer kidnapping hoax. They brought the full powers of the DOJ to bear on parents daring to protest out-of-control school boards. They suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story. They've incarcerated J6 protesters indefinitely. And now regularly target political enemies with pre-dawn military-style raids. 30 years ago, the DOJ proved to be out of control at Ruby Ridge. And since then, its abuses have only accelerated and oversight has proven impossible. The entire criminal organization needs to be shuttered and rebuilt outside of the incestuous confines of the Beltway with a strict code of ethics that, if violated, would result in a permanent ban from government jobs and loss of pension. At the very least. Fact of the matter is that we are out of options. We have one option coming up in 2024. And we had better have the ducks in a row with Congress. And if it's Trump, if Trump gets out there and promises to drain the swamp as his campaign promise, watch and see what happens. After COVID, watch and see what happens. I suspect that might be considered a winning strategy there. Back again in 21 hours between now and then. Remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been and it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.